two. People's Home Equity is a great place to start the home buying process. 591-9801. You need more than less? People's Home Equity. 591-9801.
Call for more details. Terms and conditions may apply. This is not a commitment to lend. NMLS number 66247. Tennessee number 1172781136. Georgia number 16020. Georgia Residential Mortgage Licensee. Equal Housing Lender.
Hey guys, not sure what to get your significant other or loved one for Valentine's Day? My name is Emmeline and I'm the owner of Emmeline's in North Shore. We are a local affordable women's boutique with a variety of cute women's apparel, jewelry, and knickknacks. Don't get her something that will be gone in a week. Shop with us across the street from the Walking Bridge, online at shopatemmelines.com, or over the phone at 423-503-0254. We have gift cards so that she can pick something out herself, or our girls would be glad to spend some time with you to help you pick out the perfect gift.
We stay accident-free on our freeways with this traffic update, but we're on the brakes, and it's all on 24 with that travel traffic really heavy now from Rossville Boulevard up to 75. 75 seeing lighter volumes. You're at posted speeds. 153 at Grub Road. Got a crash. Watch for crews, but really no impact on your commute there. 27 northbound. Typical delays slowing through that construction from Broad to MLK. And wires are down on Learning Lane at Live Oak. You may want to avoid as electrical crews are in or out. From the Chattanooga Traffic Network, I'm Tony Rankin for ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Welcome back in the press row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hope everybody out there is having a safe and terrific Tuesday. Chattanooga Trailer and Rental right now has more truck beds than ever. Utility and lowboy trailers, both new and used, in great condition for great prices. SureTrack, Northstar, Eager Beaver Jet, Load Trail, and many more. For more information, see ChattanoogaTrailer.com. What is a pleasure, as always, to welcome in Ryan Callahan, who does a great job covering Tennessee football recruiting for 24/7 Sports. Ryan, how are you today?
Yeah, doing well. How are you guys?
Doing great. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Tennessee, I know when you think about the past few weeks, they've had some additions via transfers, with obviously Cade Mays being the big one and a couple of receivers, but has Tennessee had any commitments since the December period?
They haven't, and part of that's just because of limited space and just sort of some of the big names they've been waiting on. Really only four spots were left in this class, four, maybe five, depending on how they can work the numbers after the early signing period, and they've already used two of those spots to add transfers, as you mentioned, with Bayless Jones Jr., the wide receiver who previously played at USC, and then Cade Mays, the former Georgia offensive lineman. So they've been sort of waiting on some highly ranked guys they've been after here down the stretch, and all those guys have taken it to signing day or beyond, maybe in one case with five-star running back Zach Evans. So just been kind of having to wait on some guys and allow them to zero in on some of those top targets, and they haven't cast much of a wider net to try to get themselves many backup options. So it's kind of been all in on these guys, and knowing they were the types who were going to wait until signing day, it's been a fairly quiet January for Tennessee in terms of additions. They actually had two guys who didn't sign with them but were committed to Tennessee, who parted ways with Tennessee in January, not unexpectedly. As you often see from guys who are committed but don't sign early, they very seldom, it seems, stick with the teams that they're committed to. So that's happened with Tennessee. So they've actually had two subtractions from the class and haven't added anybody aside from those transfers.
You touched on Zachary Evans, and of course 24/7's been on him as much as anybody, because it's kind of been a weird deal when you think about reportedly signing with Georgia, being released. I know Kirby's supposed to talk tomorrow, and that may be the first time he's had a chance to even address it if he can, but 24/7 Sports reporting that per NCAA rules he can't sign anywhere tomorrow, and that, of course, February is a dead period, and so March, he may be on the visit circuit again next month?
It sounds like that's the plan as of right now. I mean, there's always a chance he could make a sort of an 11th-hour change of plans here, but part of the problem, as you said, he's already signed with Georgia and gotten out of that letter of intent, so he cannot sign again, at least not a binding letter of intent this time around. So now that he's gone to this point, he really can't sign anything that's completely binding He just will have to get on campus at the school he chooses and enroll, and he won't be locked in until he officially attends classes and gets started there. The one thing he could do, if he signed a financial aid agreement, for instance, with an SEC team, that would prevent him from signing from enrolling at another SEC school. So if Tennessee or Ole Miss or anyone else like that he's considering could sign him to a financial aid agreement, that would at least prevent him from going to another SEC school, but it wouldn't prevent him from looking at schools in other conferences. So there's really nothing he can do to make a final decision official until he actually enrolls. And, yeah, he does sound like he's wanting to take that fifth and final visit sometime, which won't happen until March because of the February dead period that runs through the end of the month now. So going to be looks like a little bit longer of a wait for everybody still in the running for him. And obviously it's looked like Tennessee has about as good of a chance as anyone, but Ole Miss also hosted him on an official visit. And now we'll just have to wait and see where that fifth visit might go. It could go to any number of different schools, but Florida is one we've heard of so far. And, still wouldn't be surprised if some teams fall short numbers wise on signing day if you see some new teams enter the mix again after signing day.
I mean, you're on this, Ryan, and we're talking to Ryan Callahan, does a great job covering Tennessee for 24/7 Sports. I mean, do you expect Tennessee to add anybody tomorrow? And who would be the one or two, or how many players you think they will add? Who do you think those realistically could be?
Well, it's kind of, unless something changes with Zach Evans, it does look like it's going to be all the attention will be focused on two guys. And I do think Tennessee has a good chance of adding at least one guy tomorrow. I think maybe the most realistic or likely possibility is probably Dee Beckwith, a four-star athlete from Florence, Alabama, who has been a Tennessee target for a long time, got his very first offer from Tennessee a little more than a year ago, and has been to Tennessee a half dozen times since then. So lots of reasons to think Tennessee's got a real shot there. That said, he's also called Florida his leader for most of the past few months. But I think those comments have been a little bit misleading at times. I think Tennessee's always been right there in it. His half-brother, Cameron Beckwith, is actually committed to Tennessee as a preferred walk-on right now. So the chance to play at the same school with him obviously could be appealing. And then Tennessee being closer to home, I think, could be a factor in the end. And then the other one to watch, Malachi Wideman, four-star receiver committed to Florida State for almost 9 months. Still, the Seminoles battling to hold on there, but he's taken official visits to Oregon, Tennessee, and now Ole Miss this past weekend. And I think all those teams at times have thought they've got a real shot at landing him. Florida State, I don't think, has a ton of confidence that can hold on to him despite that longstanding commitment. He hasn't been back to Tallahassee since December. Might not have quite the same connection there with the new staff, with Mike Norvell and those guys. So I think there's a real chance Tennessee could flip him. Ole Miss also apparently feels pretty good about its chances after this past weekend. So lots to watch with those two guys. But Wideman looks like the wild card, and I think Beckwith, if I had to guess right now, is probably the more likely addition for Tennessee tomorrow. But still a chance they could add both of those guys.
All right, good stuff. You're listening to Ryan Callahan. Does a great job covering Tennessee football recruiting for 24/7 Sports. You're listening to Ryan here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Does this feel like the strangest traditional signing day that you've ever had?
It's up there. I wouldn't say it's the strangest necessarily because they're all kind of starting to be this way. Last year we saw this a little bit with Tennessee adding just a few guys. Last year the difference was a couple top 50 players were among Tennessee's additions there on signing day with Darnell Wright and Henry Toad. So that obviously ended up being a day where Tennessee kind of made as big a splash as anyone nationally.
Right.
Tomorrow, they have a chance to add some highly ranked guys, but just not quite as much of a national splash if they do get both of those guys that I mentioned. Don't know if it'll necessarily be the story, but it will be another good day for them if they get those two guys. So it'll be a little bit quiet. And fans, this is kind of the way you want it to be almost as a coaching staff. You don't want to have six or seven spots to fill, ideally, just because not many players are still out there after December. So I think this is kind of the new norm almost. Maybe not two or three to watch every year, but, five or six guys really are all you're ever going to have to watch on signing day unless you're maybe a fan of a team that's had a coaching change and has had to scramble to fill several spots.
From a guy who is very well in touch not only with the Tennessee recruiting effort, but also with the Tennessee recruiting fan base, what was the hubbub with Jay Hardy, and where did that? I don't want to back you in a corner, but he's a local kid from around here, and it just felt like it mushroomed from a high school kid wanting to do something with his buddies, and the next thing you know, there was a whole fan base really irate about it.
Yeah, I think it just and lots of kids do it. He's far from the only person who has you know misled fans or media or whatever into thinking that things are one way and they're actually another. But fans hadn't really seen it before, where a player had you see it sometimes that a player Darnell Washington, for instance, the five-star tight end who signed with Georgia, Zach Evans actually was one of these guys who will sign early and then wait until an all-star game a couple weeks later to announce their decision. That's not unheard of. What is unheard of is for a player to make it seem as though he didn't sign in December, try to keep things open, act as though he's going to continue looking around and that he might even visit another school, and then for the contact period to reopen, coaches go back out on the road, and then it turns out the player actually signed a month ago and was kind of just leading people on, including coaches. You know, three Tennessee coaches showed up in McCauley to watch him play basketball the first day of the contact period, effectively wasting a half day of those coaches' travel schedules. Okay. And they could have been visiting other players. So I think that's where a lot of the anger from fans came from. You know, you see that with all kinds of situations, though. Tennessee fans were mad at Cade Mays just for going to Georgia and not giving Tennessee much of a shot after Jeremy Pruitt came in. But well, that one's a little bit different, I think, because of the way Jay Hardy sort of presented things publicly. And, you know, it's not that he just wanted to announce a decision on sign day and keep it a secret. It's that he'd already announced a commitment to Auburn and signed and sort of just led people into thinking his recruitment was still open going into January.
All right. You mentioned one of the two guys who Tennessee fans will be watching tomorrow. Is it any truth to your middle name being Malachi?
There's not. Maybe it should be.
Okay.
but no truth to that. It's going to be an interesting day with just a couple guys to focus on, but certainly Malachi Wideman is one of them. But he's way more talented than me. I can assure you that this guy can jump out of the gym. He's a great basketball player, for that matter. So is D. Beckwith. Both of those guys want to play basketball in college, in addition to playing football. So that's something to watch with both of those guys. But yeah, if Tennessee adds one or both of those guys, that's going to be a heck of a finish for them to add some playmakers like that to what they already have in this class.
Malachi Wideman, Malachi Dupree, Malachi Callahan. You're listening to Ryan Callahan here on Press Row. Does a great job covering Tennessee football recruiting. All right, Ryan, let's just talk about Tennessee in generalities here. On the 24/7 team rankings, they sit 14th. I think the class last year was 13th. You go back to 2015, and that was that monster, as you know, the Khalil McKenzie, Shai Tuttle, Drew Richmond, Kyle Phillips, Alvin Kamara, Juwan Jennings. I mean, that was a huge class. It was ranked like fifth. Tennessee, unless some earth-shattering stuff happens, will probably finish outside the top 10 for a fifth straight year. What do you think? I mean, what does Tennessee need to do to kind of get back up in that? Or how important do you think that is when you see the Auburns and the Floridas and the A&Ms and the LSUs and then at the very tip top, the Bamas and Georgias?
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. I actually just posted our signing day preview there, and there still is a path for Tennessee to sign a top 10 class this year. They're so tightly packed between 9 and 16 that if they add the two guys I mentioned or one of those guys along with Zach Evans, just depends on what the other teams around them do, but any combination of those guys would put them in the top 10 as of right now. So just depends on how things fall around them. But I do think that they're going to have to be more consistently in that mix, but I don't think you necessarily have to sign a top five or top 10 class to be in that range. The thing I point to all the time, different story maybe because you're talking about an ACC team, but Clemson, before they won their first national title with Deshaun Watson, three of the previous 4 years had only signed top 15 classes. They did have one top 10 class mixed in there. But if you stack top 15 classes on top of each other year after year, you evaluate well and you keep players on campus. That's one thing the previous staff at Tennessee, I don't think, did a good enough job with. Too much attrition, too much turnover on the roster. If you can minimize that, evaluate well, getting a top 15 class gives you a chance. It all comes down to just which players you get and getting the right one. So I don't think that keeps them out of that mix. You just got to, it gives you a smaller margin for error. Signing a top five class gives you a lot more margin for error because you've theoretically got enough just natural talent to overcome some deficiencies. But the top 15 class, you maybe just got to hit on a few more surprises, three-star guys that outperform that, which you can do, but you've got to evaluate well and you've got to keep guys on campus.
Ryan, how much do you think that matters to coaches, just the perception of it? I mean, it's like you mentioned, if things fall into place and maybe, I don't know if Jeremy Pruitt cares more or less than others or what. I mean, I'm sure there are probably coaches that have cared more than others about it. But, I mean, if Tennessee were to finish ninth, just the perception of a class that's ranked ninth instead of 14th to a coach.
Oh, I think it matters. I think it matters because of what it can mean to future classes. Good players want to play with other good players. And that's, you know, it's one thing to make the fan base happy. You know, that all wears off, though, if you don't win on the field. So to some extent, it's a short-lived high. You know, you can't really get much mileage out of it to some extent. But for this entire offseason that you get to recruit from, going ahead to the 2021 class, it is a big deal, because then you're talking about a team that went 8-5 by winning seven of its final eight games this year. And then you're also talking about a team that finished with a top 10 recruiting class. So that gives you the perception of a program that's very much on the rise and doing a lot of things well. So I think that's something to keep in mind, and something that's why it does matter to coaches, I think, that they have the highest ranked recruiting class possible. You know, it's not the indication that one class is necessarily better than another, because only time will tell. But I think, sure, the perception that matters, and recruiting is the main reason.
And, Ryan, final question. You've been great as always. If Beckwith and Weidman don't work out, I mean, is there a chance that Tennessee stands pat tomorrow and doesn't have anybody, or do you think there may be a fallback player?
The only one I could see being that type of player would be maybe a guy who just committed to Georgia over the weekend, but even that seems unlikely. But someone right down there, not too far from you guys, in Chatsworth, Georgia, Ladd McConkey. Tennessee had shown some interest in him, and it had not offered him yet, but had talked about maybe offering him late, depending on how things were looking with their numbers. You know, there is a chance maybe Tennessee could float him a late offer if they just got some bad news on those guys ahead of tomorrow and decide, you know what, we are going to have a spot for sure. Let's just give it a shot and see if we can change his mind at the last minute. And the only reason I could see that being a possibility is because he's a Tennessee fan, or was a Tennessee fan growing up and from a Tennessee household. So maybe something like that does matter enough to for him to give Tennessee a look, even though they would be late offering at that point. So that's the only real possibility I can see right now. I can never rule out anything in recruiting, but I don't see a whole lot of potential surprises on the radar for tomorrow. And the one good thing for Tennessee is they showed with Cade Mays and Velus Jones Jr. If they don't get these guys tomorrow, you can always use those spots on transfers. So would not be surprised at all if you see them, you know, just save that spot and maybe go after a grad transfer tight end who could help them there to replace Dominic Wood Anderson, or a grad transfer edge rusher if anyone surfaces. So that's always a possibility, and there's no harm in coming up short these days because of what the transfer portal can offer.
Ryan, listen, thank you as always. Fantastic job again. Ryan Callahan, I'm sure our listeners have heard of him, but if you haven't, he does a great job covering Tennessee football recruiting for 24/7 Sports. Great lineup up there with Downtown Patrick Brown and Wes Rucker, friends of the show. And Ryan, we always appreciate you visiting here in Chattanooga.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, guys.
All righty. Ryan Callahan joining us. 648-1051 is the number. We'll revisit the Papa John's poll question when we come back. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.